Today, we'd like to see the title of Not to Receive the Grace of God in Vain in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. To another word of souls through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What does it mean and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in verse 3, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blind. What does it mean and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question in verse 14, do not unequally yoke together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? In the last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20-21, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In him, we represent Christ to you like an ambassador of the United States of America as Germany presents USA to Germany. You should be reconciled to God in Christ through gospel. And God made Jesus Christ, who had never experienced sin, to bear our sin in exchange for the righteousness of God in Christ, upon your faith in Christ. God's righteousness is imputed upon you. It does not mean you are perfect now, but be humble yourself under God, cast all cares for him, and in the Spirit, and by his word, just follow him, to be perfect until you meet the Lord in the glorious kingdom of God forever. Verse 1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We are ambassadors for Christ as if God did beseech you by us. By the grace of God, God allowed his Son to take all of our sin and impart to us his righteousness upon faith for eternal salvation. It doesn't get any better than that. The grace of God lies together with salvation, ties together with salvation, as Paul wrote to Titus. So, the grace of God is not cheap or vain because it cost the Son of God for Son of God's life, for everyone's salvation. Take cross reference right here, 2 Corinthians 5:20, Titus 2:11. Then verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God offers salvation to all people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people put off or postpone a decision to accept it, like a Felix. They delay the life led by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior through the Spirit, but still live in their flesh, contrary to the Spirit. So when God offers salvation to you through his instruments, Now is the accepted time, not delayed time or rejected time. Felix had never accepted Jesus Christ during his life. So that one is the present time. That is crucial. Because delay meaning until your future accepting time, you are lives in the flesh against the spirit. Verse 3, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. If you are believed, you are minister for God, in broad sense, because a minister means a servant. When you deliver the gospel for salvation to non-Christians, you should not offend them by your actions, words, or freedom not to hinder the delivery of the gospel. If you're freely eating a meat offered to idols might offend the conscience of them, you better abstain your freedom to eat it before them, because we do whatever for the glory of God. That cross-reference right in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. 4 to 10. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by word of truth, by power of God, by the arm of righteousness of the right hand and the left. So up to 10, we should read them. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as known and yet well on, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possess all things. Verses 4 to 10. Paul, as the minister of God, is ministering faithfully as to the Lord, whatever circumstances on the earth. The ints in verses 4 to 5, the buys in verses 6 to 8a, the as in verses 8 up to 10. 4 to 5, Paul was able to overcome all difficulties because the Lord strengthened him as long as he lived on the earth. So that's a cross-reference right here, all in Philippians 4, 13 up to 14. 6 to 7, God's characters are rooted in the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Here, 6 by purity, you know, all kinds of God's characters by. Verse 7, the second part, the weapons of righteousness may be every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that Scripture testifies. Scripture testifies of Jesus Christ. The weapon for the right hand is an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. While the weapons of the left hand in defensive weapon, the shield of faith and the Word of God. Defense and offense, the Word of God, the faith. That cross-reference, 2 Corinthians 10, 35, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. By honor and dishonor, by evil report, by good report, proceed. Either honored or dishonored, Paul kept his ministry faithfully as to the Lord. Either evil reported or good reported, Paul kept so, because only the Lord is a judge. The preached gospel is like untruth to unbelievers, but it is a truth. Verse 9. As unknown and yet yet long, as dying and behold, we live as chastened and yet not killed. Paul was unknown in public, but he was well known by the Lord because of his ministry to the Lord, not to man. Paul seeming dying due to sleeplessness or fasting, but in order Paul or other co-ministers are living. Wow. So we, meaning you know, other co-ministers. Verse 10. Where as a sorrowful yet always rejoice as a poor. We look at the sorrowful to the world, the unbelievers, but inwardly we are always joyful. We seem to poor in finance and spirit, but we are rich to giving away to needy neighbors like this church. We seem have nothing of corruptible things, such as expensive house, much money, much food, but possess all things of incorruptible thing, such as faith, the word of God, practice, love, or joy. Verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our hearts is wide open. Paul has spoken plainly to you without deceptive words or manipulating words. Our heart, affections, or love is wide open to you. Verse 12, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. We do not close our heart to you, but you close your own heart, affection, or love to us. Verse 13. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. As I speak as to children, I speak plainly to you with open heart, affection, or love. In return, you also should open your heart, affections, love, equally to us. Verse 14, question 3. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Fellowship or communion between believers and unbelievers is unequal yoke. Don't mix, because they are like oil and water. It does not mean isolation oneself from unbelievers, such as not keeping fellowship, communion, or intimate friendship with the sexually immoral people. But outreaching them to come to Christ through repentance here, marriage or partnership with an unbeliever is discouraged because of two conflict value systems. God's controlling system against the commerce capitalism controlling system. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 10. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Belial is Satan. We have an undivided loyalty to God, not divided loyalty toward both God and Belial, or demons, like Samaria's prophets to both God and Baal, the idol. No one can serve two masters. So this one cross-reference right there. 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Each Christian's body is the temple of God, because God the Spirit dwells in the body, as God told through Moses. God dwells in their body. So the temple of the idols cannot get along with temple of living God, such as ecumenical church, unholy ecumenical church. 17 up to 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, and says the Lord Almighty. Belong to God, separated from the world. Be not of the world, but be of God in heaven. Be holy, and then God receives us. God is our Father. We are His sons, daughters. God is the Lord Almighty. It does not mean to isolate ourselves from the world, but to separate from the simple influence in the world, to cleanse ourselves from the sins around us, or not to be polluted with sin, and to become the salt and light in the world for the glory of God. So all cross-reference right there, we covered all three questions, continuing to keep on prayer, teach church, the Holy Spirit's work in the whole counsel of God. Let's pray for the increase of faith, the word of God. It's a consequent practice to become more like Jesus Christ until we meet our Lord in heaven. Pray for joyful, thankful, and safe Paul mission trip. Then is all the cross-reference right here. You may click on gospel tracts available in 5 different languages. And pray for Muslim country, especially here, Afghanistan. Mary is example shown up. Let's sing all together Maranatha song.